Welcome to the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. Thanks for listening to our service today.
So glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget him and wander away, still Jesus loved me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee, when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
The good news of Jesus Christ. It's a privilege and responsibility to be a witness that every believer should take seriously because we understand the eternal impact. We never know the full extent of the gospel message. We looked at five thoughts to consider about raising our commitment to witnessing. Number one, from that passage in Acts, was the people that God elects. We stated that God chooses ordinary, everyday people to minister the gospel message like you and I. We're to be living witnesses in a spiritually dead world. Number two is the plan that God embraces. Number three was the plan and the places that God encompasses. We talked about the fact that in Jerusalem means your community or your own city specifically. In Judea is your country. Samaria is your continent. And the end of the passage talks about the end of the world. We looked a little bit at the power that God employs. Point number four, the fact that the Holy Spirit has come upon us. He has given us everything that we need, including the Holy Spirit, to take the message of the gospel to people. And number five was the period that God extends, that we are to be doing this to the end of the world. We're to be witnesses for Christ until He returns. He's left us with the task of spreading the gospel to not only our community, our country, our continent, but ultimately the world. And I ask you as we close, will you commit to reaching your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, and the world for Christ? Strive to spend more time in 2017 reaching your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You should be in 2 Timothy chapter 2 by now. Would you join me this morning as we look at verses 1 and 2? 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. This morning we're going to look at raising our commitment to the aspect of discipleship. Before we do that, I need to make some very straightforward comments this morning about what a disciple is and what discipleship is. Because everybody seems today to be a little bit confused on what the process is. What is a disciple? How does discipleship take place? First off, the word disciple means a follower. Plain and simple. The word disciple means to be a follower. The word disciple is used in the gospel accounts in Acts, and it refers specifically to the 12 men that Jesus called, the men that specifically were selected to travel with him. those with whom he taught, those with whom he trained personally. A disciple is also used in the Bible as a synonym for Christian. It means follower or student. So when we refer to Christians as disciples, when we refer to ourselves as the disciples of Christ, we are followers. We're students of the teachings of Jesus Christ. We don't think about this, but we are students for life. We are students still learning from our Master, Jesus Christ. And we have a great deal still to learn. But there's something more. The word also carries the idea of imitation. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And it wasn't that Paul was faking that. He was being genuine. It was the idea, I'm following the example of Christ. You see what's going on in my life. Follow that same pattern. Follow Christ. So disciples of Jesus Christ are those that are seeking, not just to understand Christianity in an intellectual sense, but those that are seeking to truly be like Jesus. Disciples of Christ are people who are modeling their lives after His. They're walking according to the example that He gave us. Matthew 16 and verse 24. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily, Scripture says. Discipleship is the process in which a person assists another person. Discipleship is all about taking our life and impacting another life. And to make it very simple this morning, it's two people. It's somebody that's more spiritually mature and somebody that's less spiritually mature coming together. And the older, more wise, spiritually mature person is helping to disciple the younger one to follow the example of Jesus Christ. It's a lifelong process. Discipleship is one of those things you don't go to bed one morning and you wake up and you're 7 years old spiritually the next day. It does not happen like that. There's no quick route to being discipled. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes energy. And the discipleship process is something that I'm going to let you in on this morning. You will not reach full maturity in Jesus Christ till heaven. But as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you should be striving to be like Christ in every way. Striving to disciple. The whole goal of discipleship is to lead people to fall in love with God. My job as a pastor is to lead people to fall in love with God and His Word. That's my job. You as a disciple, go out and you help to disciple other people. You help them to fall in love with God. The process of discipleship is not about making better people or making better Christians even, but to help people better understand and know and apply the Word of God to life. With that, let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, how thankful we are for the privilege that we have to open the Word of God. Father, may you help us as we look at this idea of discipleship today, that you would use the Word of God to speak to us. Father, be with the message that you've laid upon my heart. Help me to do my part in faithfully communicating that today. Father, may the Holy Spirit pierce our hearts deep this morning. May the Word of God be what it is that you use to convict us. Father, may each and every one of us do our part in this aspect of discipleship. We're called to be witnesses. We're called to be examples for Christ, but the process of sharing the gospel doesn't stop when somebody comes to know Christ as Savior. Father, there's a discipleship process that continues long after that. So, Father, help us this morning to understand that. Help us to look at the Word of God with open minds and open hearts. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Raising our commitment to discipleship. You ever made a bad investment before? Ever? Like a really, really bad investment? Perhaps it was money. Perhaps it was the stock market. When I was in high school, if you'd have met me, I was a very small individual. I was a small guy. My closest friend was almost 6 foot by the time I was in sixth grade. So he had quite a substantial height difference between me and him. He was a farm kid. I was a little bitty city kid. I didn't have much to me. I was scrawny. The other kids that were in our youth group, a bunch of boys, they were farm kids. They worked all the time with their hands. And I just looked puny standing next to them. Finally, there came a day where I decided I was tired of that. I didn't want to be the runt. I didn't want to be the last one that got picked for every sporting activity there was in youth group. I wanted to be the guy that, there was something about me. And I decided I had to come up with a plan to get there. So I decided I really wanted to get strong and build my muscles. So I saved up my money. I guess you could say those boys inspired me to do something. So I got some money saved up. I was going to get buffed. I remember I saved up that money, and you'll understand why in just a moment. So I saved up the money, and I went to the store, and I bought myself a weight bench, and I bought myself a dumbbell set. Really, I think some of you know where this is going. I think the only dumbbell was... But you get where I'm going. And I remember getting those. And I used that weight bench for a week, maybe two, and I remember I could start to feel it. And then I really started to feel it. And all of a sudden, that desire to become really well built, that investment, all of a sudden, I could care less. And that weight bench just sat idle, and it collected dust. And finally, my mother said, "Can we get rid of it? It's taking up space." Next thing I did was I put it on the garage sale, and it was gone. Not a good investment, was it? I got 2 weeks' worth out of something that I intended to use for a lot longer. This morning, I want to share with you about a good investment. Something that's worth investing in. We had somebody come to our house a while back that was talking about investments, and I laughed because really the job that I have as a pastor is to help you understand that God's investments are the greatest investments of all. Amen? There's no variation. They're the same investment. They're eternal investments. And I want to share with you this morning the best investment that you can make, and that is to invest your life, however and whatever is left, in discipleship, in the life of another person. You have in front of you there your outline this morning. You need to understand, and I hope that you do as I begin this morning, that I am standing here today preaching to you this message about discipleship because there were people in my past that took great time and effort to disciple me. They made an investment in my life. Parents, grandparents, Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, pastors, missionaries, camp staff. That list could go on and on. People that made an investment in me so that I could stand up here today and preach the Word of God to you. I didn't get here overnight. Somebody had to train and disciple me so I could do this. Those individuals, they taught me how to study the Word of God, how to have a passion for Him. Those individuals inspired me to reach the unchurched who need Christ. They taught me and gave me wisdom about my relationship, and more importantly, they helped in a great way in who I married. They helped encourage me to respond to God's call to ministry right away and to begin to follow that. Not only that, but I'm telling you this, I would not be here today if it was not for all of those people. They were at different stages of my life, my Pauls, and I was their Timothy. And I want to share with you this morning, and I want to challenge you with four thoughts to consider about discipleship and the discipler. Look at your copy of Scripture. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." The Apostle Paul is writing here to Timothy, who was the pastor at the church at Ephesus. He's writing to him. Paul and Timothy had a wonderful relationship. Paul was the older and Timothy was the younger. And there was a discipleship process that took place here. And we'll get into that this morning. But I would ask you as we start, is there a discipler in your life right now? Is there someone in your life that's discipling you? Hopefully there's more than one person that's discipling you. But I want to turn that around and I want to ask it this way. Are you discipling someone else? Are you discipling someone else? If you do not have someone like that in your life, I would strongly encourage you to pray and look for someone who is mature in their walk with the Lord that God can use to mentor your life. You say, "I'm in my 80s. There's somebody God can use in your life. Young person, there's somebody younger than you that God can use you to minister to. I also want you to know this. You can be a mentor. You can be a discipler too. You see, pastors, missionaries, people that are involved in ministry as a full-time job, they're not the only people that have this responsibility of discipling. God's Word is going to show us that this morning. We read there in verse 1, "You therefore, my son." Paul and Timothy, they had a unique relationship. Paul led Timothy to Christ. He called him my son in the faith. And they had a relationship there that was stronger than words. And it wasn't just that this was just another convert. This was somebody that Paul took an interest in. And I would tell you this morning about discipling and the discipleship process. You cannot disciple someone unless you truly care about them. The reason I am where I am today is because somebody took time to disciple me. They cared about me. They didn't want me to end up out on the street. They wanted me to go on and serve the Lord. But it's discipleship that they use. That process. The relationship between Paul and Timothy. He said, "You therefore, my son." When we see people come to Christ, it's a wonderful thing, is it not? Praise God, somebody came to Christ. But you know what? That's usually where it stops. Well, you can come to church now with me. And we leave the discipleship process up to the local church. Folks, that's not the way God intended it to be, the only way. God intended for us as individuals to be making disciples. Your converts, the people that you help bring to Christ, they're your responsibility. They're looking up to you. They want to become in a place where you are in your walk with Christ, and more so. You see, Timothy, when he got saved, he didn't say, "Well, that's good enough, Paul. I guess I'm going to heaven now." Timothy said, "No, I want to learn. I want to know what you know, Paul. I want to serve like you serve." And you know what Paul said? "Nope, I don't have time for you. Go find somebody else." I don't think so. That's not what Paul did. Paul took an interest in Timothy. He took an interest in him, and when you find him in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the teaching, the ministry, the discipleship, the mentoring that's gone on has led Timothy to a point where Timothy is now pastoring. He's serving the Lord. I need to share with you this morning, what does a discipler look like? These five thoughts to consider about discipleship and the discipler. Let's jump right into these. Number one, disciplers are constant learners. How many of you love to learn new things? How many of you don't? A discipler is a constant learner. They're constantly learning something new. Paul said to you, "Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses." Timothy was now in a leadership role. It's interesting. He's here, he's pastoring, he's in the position where he is investing in other people. He's the pastor, he's discipling others. But can I say something? He's not doing that in his own strength and ability. He was not doing this in his own strength and ability. First, you need to notice that he was to stand strong in grace. Not in his own ability, not in his own wisdom, but in grace. Somebody that's going to be a discipler has to learn true dependence on God and His amazing grace. A discipler cannot disciple anyone without the power of God at work in their life. The grace of God and understanding. Some of you say this morning to yourself, "I'm never going to be qualified to be a discipler, a mentor, to be able to be involved in this discipleship process. I don't know enough. I'm not qualified." Good. You are a perfect candidate that God can use. Because God wants us to use His strength, not our own. His strength and not our own. But also notice what Timothy learned, and he learned much from Paul. It says here in verse number 2, "The things that you have heard from me among many witnesses." Paul had a host of witnesses. A host of witnesses that he shared the gospel with, the things that he taught. But there were a host of things as well that Timothy could have spent time reading and learning. I can imagine that Timothy spent many hours reading the letters of Paul. The letters that Paul wrote. He would ask Paul questions. He would study the scriptures. He would be a learner of all that was shared with him about God. You remember, even Paul, it said, had to be pulled aside and had to have the word of God explained to him more accurately. By Aquila and Priscilla, they had to explain to him more. He had to be discipled. But you can imagine Timothy asking those questions. "Paul, what about this? What does the Bible say about this?" And Paul would graciously answer those questions. A huge part of investing your life into another is your own growth in Christ. The danger that many people have is they're not growing in Christ and they try to disciple someone else. That doesn't work. Your own personal growth in your walk with the Lord has to be there if you're going to disciple someone else. We must spend time in God's Word in order to disciple someone else. We have to take advantage of church Sunday school. It's a wonderful thing. It's a discipling thing. You need Sunday school in your life. More importantly than that, there's other opportunities to be discipled, for you to grow in your walk with Christ. There's men's prayer breakfast. There's WMF, ladies' Bible study, prayer meeting. That list could go on and on and on. Those are tools that God uses in your life. They're all resources. And there's more all around us to help us learn and grow in our walk with God. Simply put, we cannot invest in another what we do not already possess. You see, I can't loan you $100,000 this morning. You want to know why? I don't have $100,000 to loan you. I have to possess it before I can use it. I have to have in my own walk with Christ, I have to have spiritual growth if I'm going to help somebody else grow spiritually. It has to be present there. Let me use another example for you. If I'm constantly pouring out into another, eventually I'm going to be left dry unless I'm being poured into. If I was to bring to the front of the auditorium this morning a bottle of water, and everybody came up, and you had a little bitty Dixie cup, and I poured a little water in there for you, and everybody got some of that water, by the time we got done, if the bottle wasn't empty, it would be very, very close. It would not be near as full as it was when I started. Just like that, so is the process of discipleship. If you're pouring your life into someone else, you need to have someone else pouring into your life. It's kind of the idea of a fountain, a tiered fountain. You've seen the water. It goes from one to the next and on down. That's the way the discipleship process should work. We're to be emptying ourselves into someone else and being filled from someone else. It's that process of discipleship. We're to be constant learners if we're going to be disciplers. Number two, disciplers are living examples. Disciplers are living examples. Paul said, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit these to faithful men." Have you ever known somebody that spoke one message and lived another? You've met them, haven't you? They speak one message, they live another. There's a story that's told about a man who told his friends that he went to the gym every day to work out. He told them that he would go up and down the stairs 20 or more times for exercise every single day. To which his friends were amazed that this man in his age could do that. They were absolutely amazed. What he failed to tell them was that the gym facility where he would go had two levels, a lower and an upper level, and there was an escalator between the two. The man would go to the gym and he would work out by riding the escalator up and down 20 or more times a day. You see, he said one thing, but he lived another. You see, with the discipler, they're a living example. Paul didn't just teach Timothy in the private setting. He taught him in the public, both in word and in deed. He taught him in those things. 2 Timothy chapter 3 should be right there on your copy of Scripture. Verses 10 and 11, it says this, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me." You see, Timothy saw how Paul conducted his everyday life in the everyday settings. He saw Paul. How did he respond to these things? Timothy saw how Paul lived life with purpose. Literally, if you cut Paul, he would bleed a desire to know Christ and to make him known. Persecutions he uses. Oh, the persecutions that Paul faced. Timothy saw Paul exercise patience in tough situations as Paul dealt with difficult people. And we all deal with difficult people, but Paul here is an example to Timothy. He saw how much Paul loved people, so much so that he would put his life at risk to get them the gospel. He saw him persevere in the face of terrible persecutions. And I would say it this way this morning, if you're going to be a discipler in someone's life, then you have to spend time with them in settings other than church. If you're going to truly disciple someone, you've got to spend time with them outside of church. I don't think that Timothy and Paul's relationship only took place within the four walls of the church. You see, Paul discipled him on the street, in the synagogue. in the market. Wherever Paul was, he used it as an opportunity to disciple Timothy. Let me tell you this morning, no lesson will speak louder than that of your own life as a living example to your disciple. Timothy heard Paul teach about being unashamed, as he said in Romans 1:16, "For I am unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm bold in the Spirit." And then he would watch, Timothy would, he would watch Paul live that out as he was placed in prison. What a testimony to that young man. One of the best ways to be a disciple is to spend time with those that you're investing in. As I said, outside of the church, live your faith before them. Even our failures can be teachable moments if we're not too proud to admit them. And folks, we all make mistakes. I guarantee you, as much as we like to admit Paul was a godly man, Paul was not faultless. Timothy probably saw those, but Paul was willing to admit them. Number three, disciples are teachers. The things that you have heard from me, Scripture says, commit these to faithful men. And this is where many of you are going to shut down the idea of discipleship. I'm not a teacher. I don't have the gift of teaching. I didn't go to seminary. That's not something that God's given me the ability to do. I can't teach something to somebody. I can't do that. But can I tell you, teaching happens every single day. Every day of your life, you spend time teaching someone something. Might be your kids. Might be your grandkids. Might be at your place of employment. You spend your day teaching someone something. Or maybe you're learning from someone as they're teaching. Teaching is much more than sitting down with a lesson plan or a workbook or doing a lesson. I have a sister who teaches at a Christian school in Minnesota. She sits down and she lays out a lesson plan every week for what she's going to teach those kids. But this kind of teaching and discipleship is very different. This kind of teaching happens naturally as you begin to get into another person's life. We have two little girls right now at home that love to help their mom. And they've been taught how to do certain things now. Miriam started at a very early age learning how to help empty the dishwasher. Maybe you did that when you were younger. Learning how to empty the dishwasher. And it started out really simply where it was just the silverware, not the sharp stuff, but the stuff that she could handle. And she would take it, and she would carry it over, and she'd pull the drawer out, and it would all end up in the drawer. Maybe not sorted, but it would end up in the drawer. But she was taught from somebody. Her mother, how to do that. But can I tell you something? It's amazing because as Bethany taught Miriam how to do that, guess who else is now learning? A little girl by the name of Rachel is learning how to do this very same thing. And guess what? It's almost scary that a child that's not even two yet knows where that much stuff goes in your kitchen. But it's because she's been taught. She's learned. Someone has showed her. It may come out in your accountability with a person when you teach them. That you say or they say to you, how did you deal with or how are you dealing with the temptation that you struggle with? There's a teachable moment. How do you start a conversation with a friend at work when you want to share Christ? There's a teachable moment. How do you love your wife when she pushes your buttons? How do you love your spouse when he's being difficult? Those are teachable moments. Teaching is something that we all do whether we realize it or not. And I do not think that there is a time where it is appropriate to be very intentional with this aspect. Of when we think of teaching, there is a time when we shouldn't necessarily be so intentional, and there is a time when we should. We should be specifically intentional at times in this aspect of investing in others. A discipler may not always have the answers to the disciple these questions. I've been a pastor for 4, 5, 6, however many years now, and I still get asked questions I don't know. But you know what? The job of a discipler is to constantly learn and take those lessons back to the one you're discipling. There's nothing wrong with admitting, I don't know the answer, but I'll find it. Anyone can sit down with the Word of God and ask good questions and search for answers even when they don't know. That's part of your job as a discipler. We need to get to the last point. Disciplers are empowerers. Scripture says that you're to take the things that have been committed to you the things that you've heard, the things that you've learned, and you commit them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That is the idea of entrusting someone. You could say that disciples are empowers or entrusters. And here is where it gets good. Disciples invest, and then they empower. They release that investment to invest into others. There finally comes a point in time where you'd look at your disciplee, and you say, it's time for you to go take what you've learned and invest it in someone else. It's time for you to take the things that you've learned and been taught and work in somebody else's life. Paul didn't just tell Timothy to reach men or to teach them and invest his life into them. He told him to send them out. Notice the scripture. He said, the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit them to men who will be able to teach others also. Are you following this? It's a three-step process. There's a disciplee. That's Timothy, who was discipled by Paul. And he says to Timothy, he says, all right, I discipled you, now you disciple others, and those others are going to go out and disciple someone else. So that process does not die. Folks, that's the plan that God has for growth in the local church. That's God's plan to reach the world. When you look at Matthew 28, 19 and 20, it says, go ye therefore into all the world, teach the gospel, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's the idea of discipleship. You teach them those things, and they go on and they teach others. One of the greatest little books that I have ever read in my entire life was by Robert Coleman. The book was entitled The Master Plan of Evangelism. In that book, Coleman magnificently shows how Jesus put this very plan into action. Jesus' time on earth was temporary. So what was his plan to reach the world? And it sounds very bizarre, doesn't it, when you really think about it? It was to invest his life in 12 guys. 12 guys. He'd spent his entire ministry life investing in 12 people. And you say, wow, there's a couple few billion people in the world now. He invested his life in 12 people. And we say, well, what good was that? Can I tell you 12 men, those 12 disciples that he invested his life into? More importantly, he intensely invested in three of them, Peter, James, and John. He invested his life in those men. And I've heard it said before that 12 guys turned the world upside down because they did. They took the investment that Jesus invested in them and they went on, they invested in others. And that's why in the book of Acts, you read that when the Holy Spirit came and the Word of God was preached in Peter's sermon, that thousands of people came to Christ because the discipleship process was there. They heard the Word of God. They taught. They learned. When it says that they searched the Scriptures daily, they had a daily Bible study, devotional, discipleship, mentoring process, whatever you want to call it. It happened on a regular basis. People were being taught. When Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples led by Peter, they began to build the church one soul at a time. It's the concept of multiplication. Discipleship is an investment that should multiply. Let me ask you this morning, how many investments have you made in others? What are you investing in right now? Who are you investing in? The Christian life is not about, well, I'm saved, I'm going to go to heaven, that's great. But it's a process in which you need to be discipling other people. Intensely witnessing to someone. They need to hear Christ, do they not? How shall they hear, as I said last week, in whom? How shall they call on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without you? And how are they going to know to follow the Lord if someone doesn't show them through discipleship? That's exactly what a discipler does. He pours into your life. And there comes a point in time when he turns around and he says, I want you to start praying about somebody that you can disciple. Someone you can pour your life into. There was a time, and I was like many of you today, thinking, I can't do this. But as I began to pray, God began to lay people on my heart. He began to burden me for a handful of guys that I went to college with before I became a pastor. During one semester at college, I was able to disciple and invest my life in a bunch of those guys. And it's cool to see them now, because you know what those guys are doing? They're investing their lives in other people. They're doing the same thing. That's what it's about. Every week in this local church, people invest their time and their energy into helping young people and adults become more like Jesus Christ. They invest in you. Who are you investing in? The goal of our church should be to help those newly saved grow in their walk with the Lord. We should have these two rows in the front of the auditorium full of new believers. People that are eager. People that want to be discipled. But it comes back to us. What are we willing to do with the gospel? Can I share something with you? If you're not willing to witness, you're definitely not willing to disciple, and you're definitely not going to see growth. Because the Word of God makes it very clear. If you keep your mouth shut, people won't hear the message of the gospel. And once someone comes to Christ, if you want them to grow in that, you have to be a part of it. That's where discipleship comes in. We need to close this morning. Here's the reality. To be a discipler in someone's life, you have to be willing to invest your time. If I was to ask you this morning, how much is your time worth? You'd tell me whatever I make per hour, right, at your employer. That's $7.50 an hour. That's what your time's worth. Hopefully not. But your time is important to you. In fact, Jesus said and had a good understanding of how important time was to us. And he said we make time for what's important. And we make time for what really matters. If you're going to disciple someone, it takes time. It takes effort. It takes energy because it's an investment. In fact, for most of us, we'd probably say that our time is our most valuable sacrifice. So my question that I pose to you this morning is this: who are you going to invest in? You realize this morning that if everyone in this room invested in one person, you would double the size of the work of God right now. Just by discipling one person. Just one. But here's the thing. Are you willing to be discipled from someone else? As I said, who are you going to invest in? But there's two challenges really this morning. First, if you don't have a discipler in your life, then you need to commit to pray that God would send someone your way. Someone that would intentionally invest in you. I don't care where you are or whether you think you're spiritual. There is always someone who is further along in their walk with Christ than you. There's somebody further along in their walk with Christ than me. And the point is this: there's somebody that can add to the wisdom and knowledge of God that we already have. Somebody that can help keep us accountable in our Christian walk. If God's laid someone on your heart this morning, maybe as you sit here, somebody that you know God could use, write their name down. Call them up. And then get involved and allow that person to start discipling you. Begin to meet on a frequent basis. Begin to allow them to invest in your life. Second, I want to challenge you to mentor someone else. I know that you may not feel qualified. Welcome to the family, because most of us do not feel at all like we're qualified to disciple someone else. But if you never ever start, how will the Word of God ever go forward? How will people's lives ever be changed? I challenge you, start praying for God to lay someone on your heart who you can invest in. And if God lays someone on your heart as you're praying, write their name down. If you need help, come talk to me. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to help you help me and help the work of Christ. And part of that is through discipleship. Please don't ignore God's plan to reach the world through the process of developing fully devoted followers of Christ. Will you commit to find a Paul and disciple a Timothy? Strive to follow Christ in 2017 by getting involved with God's plan of discipleship. There's a world that needs to hear about Christ, but there are people that need to be discipled, and God wants to use you. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word.
We hope you enjoyed the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. If you'd like to join us for our Sunday services, we have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. for all ages, morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. You can also join us Wednesday evenings for prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m.